Pat Horgan is on the line. And Pat, you worked with Peter Tork. He passed away. The announcement came within the hour. We loved the Monkees when we were kids, but that was really just a small part of who he was as a musician, right?
Well, I mean, you know, he auditioned for the television show, which I don't think anybody knew at first what they were going in for. You know, he just needed a job. And I think that he came in through Stephen Stills. Stephen Stills auditioned and they liked him, but he had bad teeth. So they had said to him, do you have anybody that looks, you know, as good as you look, but with good teeth? And he sent Peter in, and Peter got the gig.
Wow. Peter Tork died at the age of 77 today.
Right.
Was he a working musician before the Monkees? I seem to remember that he has a Greenwich Village background.
Well, I mean, he's from Connecticut, first of all. You know, he was I think, a little better off than some of the other guys because his parents were both teachers at a college. He started hanging out in Greenwich Village and, you know, played these open mic things. You don't make much money there. You get a couple of tips. So I think when he got the Monkees, that was real money, which at the point, they were paid $400 a week each.
Wow.
That's all they ever made when they were on the show. He actually wrote the end theme song, the song they used to play at the end of the show called it was called For Pete's Sake, which Peter wrote.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he said
yeah.
he made more money from that song than he ever did as an actor on the Monkees.
Wow.
You know, for writing that song. That's interesting enough. There's a writer in Brazil that just wrote a book called Love is Understanding, and it's the biography of Peter Tork.
No kidding.
Unfortunately, it's not available yet in English.
Hmm.
But the reason I knew about it is the guy contacted me because I'm in the book.
Oh, okay. Wow. So when was the last time you spoke to Peter? You had a relationship with him over the years.
Yeah, I've known him for 40 years.
Wow, and, 40 years. Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I met him at the Bottom Line back in, I think it was 1980. And we brought him, I was working at Sire Records at the time in Manhattan. We had a demo studio in the basement. So I brought him in and I produced six tracks, which came out pretty good, I think. He did two remakes of Monkey songs and four other songs. And I actually didn't have those tracks for the longest time. He didn't have them. And I found some guy in England was selling them on vinyl. They had pressed them on vinyl. So that's the only way I ever got them. I guess at some point maybe we'll release them. But I just worked with him last year. And we were doing a tribute to David Bowie at the Chula Theater Convention. And we had a bunch of celebrity singers coming up and doing Bowie songs, you know, like Martha Davis from the Motels. And Ricky Bird from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. So
I
mentioned to Peter, why don't you do Diamond Dogs? Because he used to do it, you know, back in the 80s. And so he did do it. And we brought in Tim Capello on saxophone. That's the guy that was Tina Turner's sax guy. He was also in the movie Lost Boys. Real muscular with a long ponytail. I mean, killer sax player. And it's actually on YouTube if you want to look for it. And I'm singing background. I'm all the way over to the left, but you see me at the beginning of the thing. But Peter, that was Peter's arrangement of Diamond Dogs, and it was really great. You know, he did a great thing. I still have messages on my phone from him.
You know, I was there that night. Three of the Monkees performed, right? Or was it two?
Two.
It was Mickey and Peter.
There was Mickey, Peter, and Bobby Hart from...
Oh, Bobby Hart, Hart, right.
Voice and Hart were the
Voice
two guys
Hart,
that wrote
sure.
a lot of the early songs.
Last Train to Clarksville.
Bobby Hart was there. Yeah. Last Train to Clarksville, the Monkees theme. You know, I Want to Be Free. You know, they wrote all that stuff.
Listen, I got about 2 minutes here. What could you share about his quality of his musicianship, what we didn't know about him from the stereotype of the Monkees, a serious musician for sure, songwriter, what would you have people know about him that they would enjoy knowing?
Well, I think that, you know, he really liked blues and R&B, which is kind of strange when you're a white guy from Connecticut, you know. But that's what he really liked. And he had his own band. He did that on the side. And I think he liked that music better than the pop music. But, you know, he still appeared as one of the Monkees on and off through the years. I kind of knew something was up when he didn't go out with Mickey and Mike last year.
He didn't join.
So yeah. You know, and also when they made the Christmas record that just came out, his contribution is only on one track, and it's actually an old track, which they took his vocal off of, and they rebuilt the background, kind of like what they do with Davey also.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've worked with all four of them at one time or another. You know, Peter was the one I was closest to, but, you know, he could be difficult at times because he also had Asperger's.
You know, I knew the answer.
And he became a lot easier to deal with when he got married recently, a couple of years now.
Wow.
And his wife, I think, was taking care of him.
Give me 30 seconds on what the Monkees mean. Now you've got some, you know, distance looking back. We think about them today with his passing. What was the success of the Monkees all about?
Well, they came into your home every week. You know, the difference was, like, everybody loved the Beatles, but the Monkees were in your home every week. It was on Monday nights on NBC at 7:30. And it's not like, you know, people will say, oh, they're not a real band. They had session musicians. Every band out of there, the Beach Boys, Paul Revere and the Raiders, Mamas and Papas, they all used the same musicians that the Monkees used. But for some reason, the Monkees got vilified for using session musicians because they also played on the records. I mean, if you listen to Daydream Believer,
right,
the piano riff is Peter Tork, and he wrote that riff.
Wow.
It wasn't on the original demo.
Beautiful.
You know?
Well, I'm going to wrap us up with my favorite memory of his song, Your Auntie Griselda from More of the Monkees. Remember that song?
Oh, yeah. I think it was my favorite when I was a kid.
There you go. Maybe that's how I started to like it, because you liked it. Dude,
it was
always
very common.
Yeah. No, thank you. We're tight on time. I just want to say, Pat, you're always so generous with your time. You got such great stories. Thank you for being on the show today.
No problem. Anytime.